Okay, I'm going to move on. We have a question now from Beth Cassoni. Again, Beth, I hope I said your name right. Would you recommend, the question is, would you recommend focusing on the area of concern, this is regarding commercial fishing, particular to our industry, and or comment on the entire document and give recommendations where we need?
Yeah, thanks, Beth, and thanks for joining. Great question. You know, there is a specific section on commercial and recreational fishing in Chapter 3. So let me just back up and say, please definitely comment on those topics that you represent or that are of most interest to you, where you have the most knowledge. You know, that would be super helpful. For commercial fishing, definitely focus on that chapter. Section in Chapter 3, also see the stakeholder engagement piece in the early part of Chapter 4 that also has to do with you all. But, you know, really start there. And if you have the stamina, we'd love to hear what you think about the whole plan. So give us feedback on everything and, you know, give us feedback on how we've done to date, but also keep an eye toward implementation. What kind of, you know, what do we need to change going forward and make sure that's covered in the next phase? We're also interested in those types of comments. So because we're not going to stop and, like, start twiddling our thumbs here. This work is going to continue. We're going to be continuing to meet. This is an ongoing process. So definitely let us know. Be forward-thinking as well as responding to what you see in front of you. And please, I would love it, Beth, if you can come to some of our public meetings and we can talk further about this.
Mark, do you want to add on to that answer?
Yes, I would like to add something. Beth, if you do make some comments specific to the commercial fishing industry, I'd appreciate it if you could CC me on that and perhaps Tom Neese as well, just so we're aware of what some of the concerns are and, you know, whether we wish to add to those or reinforce what you might be saying. So it'd be helpful if you could CC us. Thank you.
And again, all the comments, thanks for that, Mark, all the comments are going to be seen by everybody. I'm not going to be the only one reading them, trust me. So you send a comment in, it'll be seen by everyone, and it would have special attention paid to it by folks like Mark. Thanks, Beth.
Next question is from Stephen Katona. I'm really encouraged to see this great progress and the commitment toward the next stage, developing methods for assessing the health of the entire system. Because environmental conditions and social needs change over time, ocean health needs to be monitored, evaluated, and addressed on a continuing basis. Does the plan include recommendations for developing the lasting organizational structures to support that work?
Yeah, so in terms of things, you know, lasting organization structure to support the work of assessing the health of the entire system. Yeah, I mean, what we're committing to do is having the RPB continue to meet, continue to convene and coordinate and add value to that kind of work. Definitely see Chapter 4 in terms of the discussions on monitoring and evaluation for the work that we can anticipate tackling right away in the early stages of implementation. We really want input on this point, so Stephen, if you could absolutely tell us what you think about that during public comment, in terms of what you think some next steps might be, what some other efforts might be that we need to be coordinating with. This is the holy grail, right? I mean, we need to be working in a network of partnerships on assessing ocean health going forward and really want to make sure that we are committed to that, as that is our overarching goal to promote healthy ocean and coastal ecosystems. So we're going to need to figure this out and are very committed to it. Please let us know what you think in terms of immediate next steps, Stephen.
Great. So I just want to do a time check. We've got about 10 minutes left. We have a few more questions in the queue, and I would just note those of you who have a question or comment on your mind that you haven't chatted to us yet, now would be the time so that we can try to capture all of them before we have to wrap up. All right, so the next question, another question from Heather Goldstone. Will the RPB ever get to the level of creating ocean zones in the same way that municipal planning or zoning boards do for land use?
Yeah, I would say no, no, and if I didn't say it before, no. There's no authority to zone, okay? The RPB does not have the authority to draw lines around areas and tell everybody, you know, what should or shouldn't happen in that space. But the plan does significantly advance how agencies work within existing authorities because, as I said, this plan's an information overlay that's going to give so much more context to the decisions that we make. So, for example, you know, NOAA, we've got a National Marine Sanctuaries Program, and we are, you know, folks are nominating potential new sites for sanctuaries. Should the ocean plan guide and inform that process? Absolutely. That's part of our existing mandate. I would hope that, you know, those kinds of nominations that come in have gone and looked at the portal and have learned something from that as one source of information. So the RPB alone does not have any authority, just to sum up, to do any of that. It's more about advising, guiding, and informing those agencies that do have the authority.
All right. Question from Melissa Gates. Another question. 10 tribal nations have been engaged in this process, but you note that the final draft plan includes 6 tribes. Have 4 tribes pulled their support at this final stage of the process? And if so, are there specific elements missing from the plan that led to this? How do you perceive this limited tribal support to might impact implementation?
I'll start, and then, Rick, if you want to chime in. So the reason why we say it's a very astute comment, Melissa, you know, there are 10 federally recognized tribes in this region that were invited to participate. 6 tribes signed on to the charter, so that's what's reflected in the plan, that 6 tribes agreed through the charter to work in a partnership to get to draft this plan. So those are tribes from Connecticut, Rhode Island, Mass, Maine. No one has pulled support. We don't see that as limited tribal support. We see that as an open invitation to all 10 tribes to participate, and the fact that there are 6 tribes described just means that 6 signed the charter. I would also say that, you know, agencies like EPA hold monthly calls with all of these tribes. We are on those calls. We update all tribes, even those that didn't sign the charter, with what's going on. We have really good communication lines to tribes that even aren't on the charter, and so that's been a good way to keep everybody informed. So if they want to be more actively engaged, they absolutely can be. Invitation is open. Rick, do you want to add something?
Yeah, that I would just say just that. I mean, no tribes have pulled support. They actually are supportive. They're kept informed through other means, not only as tribal co-lead, but also our working groups and other agencies, such as the RTOC with EPA on monthly calls, where on the agenda there's updates specific to ocean planning, and also working with the Bureau of Indian Affairs and other agencies, there's other coordination with ocean planning. So, there's nobody that has pulled away from that. So, but good question.